very special episode of The Cultural Hall. It's episode number 112. In the second and third block, we're going to visit with the guys that have made the film Inspired Guns. Opens in theaters today, which is the 24th of January. But right now on the phone with me, I have all the way from California, I believe, it's Mr. Chris Capel. Chris.
Capel, you got it right the first try. That's impressive.
Well, that's good, because I knew I would have wandered until I got it right. Now, Chris, people may hear the name Chris Capel and go, I don't know who that is. But Chris, tell everyone why we got you on the phone.
Well, we made a commercial for the Doritos Crash the Super Bowl contest, and we are one of five finalists. So, yeah, we're in the running to win $1 million and have our ad played during the big game.
So let's start back with this. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? School, all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm from Arizona. I grew up in Arizona, and just moved up to L.A. with a buddy, my friend Richard Price, who co-wrote the commercial with me. We moved up here to kind of try and, you know, make it in Hollywood. And I was an animator for the last 10 years. You know, I worked at DreamWorks, worked on 9 feature films there, and, you know, just always had that dream of becoming a director. And so for the past, you know, 4 years or so, I've just been, you know, making our own little comedy sketches on YouTube and stuff. And we finally, you know, we'd wanted to enter this contest for a number of years, but we just wanted to wait until we had something we felt really good about. So, you know, this was the year. So it worked out.
All right. So there's a few questions in there. Are you born and raised a member of the LDS Church, or were you a convert?
No. I was born and raised LDS. Yeah.
Are we going back a long time? Is it Pioneer stock?
I don't know if it's all the way back to that, to the Pioneers, but it might be. I know, yeah, all my extended family is LDS, so, yeah.
And then you, Richard, do you guys go to college? Did you go to BYU? I hear animation, and I think BYU.
No, that's true, though. BYU has a great program. I'm actually self-taught. I just kind of learned online and with tutorials and stuff. But, I mean, I grew up in a small town called Thatcher, and they have a community college there called Eastern Arizona College, and so I went there for a couple of years to do like theater and acting, and quickly realized that was not a likely path for me, so kind of made the shift to animation.
And then pretty bold step moving to LA, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, it was scary. It was definitely scary. I mean, Richard, my writing partner, like, we were kind of acquaintances at the time. Like, we had mutual friends, but, you know, we both wanted to get out of Arizona and move to L.A. because we knew that there was more opportunity there for what we wanted to do. And so we just, you know, we didn't even have jobs lined up when we got there. We moved into our apartment and just immediately hit the pavement looking for a job. And it was an adventure for sure.
And working at DreamWorks, you said 9 films. Was there a favorite of the ones that you worked on?
Yeah, you know, I would have to say probably Shrek Forever After, not because of the movie itself, but just the director on that movie was amazing to work with. He was just really, you know, you'll find that in animation, some directors understand the process and others don't. And when they don't, it creates a lot of extra work for the artist. So it was nice to have someone who understood what we were doing.
Now, with all your work on that vein of stuff, animation, have you ever met... I want to say Ed Catmull. Is that his name?
Yeah, you're talking about the owner of Pixar, right?
Yeah.
I have never met him, but he's been like a superstar to me for a long time. Maybe someday.
Well, you know, you just got to find out what ward he goes to. As I understand it, he is a Mormon person.
Yeah,
you could just be like,
that.
Hey, let's go home teaching, Brother Catmull. Let's do this.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he wouldn't be creeped out by that at all.
Hey, it's worth a shot, isn't it?
I'm going to try it. I'll let you know how it goes.
We're teaching all of the members of this ward a discussion. I'm going to need to come to your house.
Right.
We'll just come
I like this.
Yeah, see, I'm just helping dreams come true.
I think so, yeah.
So now that we kind of know a little bit about you, so there's this commercial, and people can find it and see it and vote for you. How?
Okay, so they can go to voteofficethief.com. The title of our spot is Office Thief. So voteofficethief.com or doritos.com. And then we also have a Facebook/voteofficethief and then Twitter and Instagram, both at voteofficethief.
And I have to tell you, I saw all the commercials, and it's really great. I love this competition that they've done, but it's really good. You're not one of the actors in the film, are you? Or in the commercial?
I'm not. No. I would never do that. I'm not a great actor.
Who are those people? Are they?
So yeah, we got for the employee, the guy that's covered in cheese. I just kind of Googled funny acting reels, and his name is Steve Olsen, and his reel came up, and he's been in a lot of commercials. So we went to a park and auditioned him, and that he was the first and only guy I auditioned for that role because he just totally got it. And then the guy who plays the boss is Larry Cheater. And he's actually been in a lot of stuff. He's had a recurring role on Deadwood and NBC's Community. He's been in a bunch of feature films. So it was actually really amazing working with both of them, but Larry in particular, just because, you know, he's so experienced and, you know, every take was just amazing. It was really cool.
I love that you shot down my home teaching idea telling me that it was creepy, but yet you said, we met him in a park and auditioned him.
No, that's fair. That's fair. But I mean, that's just an example of how indie we are. You know, this contest is meant for the average Joe who wants to make a commercial. And you know, unfortunately, over the years, you know, a lot of production companies have gotten into the game, and fortunately, we've beat out some of them in this year's competition. But that's, I think, a good example of us really being meant. Or being who this contest is meant for, because we, you know, it was just out of pocket, you know, just very.
So let's go into it a little bit more. So are you able to see? I didn't do much perusing as you were at voteofficethief.com, but are you able to see the voting? You know which one is winning and all that. Is it a constant?
No, I mean, generally they say, you know, based on YouTube views, you can kind of see who's been viewed the most. But that doesn't necessarily two votes. And so the brutal part of this all is that we don't know who's winning, and we won't know whose spot will air until we're watching the Super Bowl and waiting to see what comes on the TV.
Really? So they don't give you any sort of notification beforehand?
None at all. We're all just, I mean, the cool thing is we get to go to the Super Bowl and watch it in a luxury box with Stan Lee there, you know. And so, you know, we already won at that point. But, you know, it's going to be a really good time for two of us and not so fun of a time for the other three. But I guess that's part of it.
So the obvious question comes down. You're vying for $1 million. What do you do?
Well, I mean, obviously we need to give the 10% to the church, but then.
I was just about to harass you because I was going to say, well, obviously it's only $900,000. So let's start there.
Right. Actually, it's about $40 after taxes. But,
yeah.
No, we're gonna. We definitely want to do that. And then one thing about me is that I have 13 siblings, and 7 of them are adopted from Ethiopia and from Mali and Ethiopia and Africa. And so, I mean, I don't know. Having parents that were such amazing examples of charity growing up, like if I won $1 million, I would feel like I had learned nothing from that if I didn't give a good. Solid chunk of it to some kind of a charitable cause. So that's definitely something we want to do as well if we win.
Now, are you a married person?
I am, yeah. I've been married about 5 years.
And is your wife okay with you giving away money to a charity?
She is. She's an amazing person. I mean, yeah. So we've figured that out.
So people can go, let's just recap this real quick. People can go to voteofficethief.com, right? Or follow on Twitter at voteofficethief or Facebook voteofficethief.
Yep, /voteofficethief.
And then also you can just do it at doritos.com.
Right.
And then really, you guys don't know, you don't have any idea until you're watching it at the Super Bowl?
No idea. That's been the craziest part about this. But I think that's kind of genius of Doritos to do that because none of us know, it's forcing all of us to just, like, campaign every waking moment. And so we're out there spreading the Doritos brand like our lives depend on it. And so, you know, they're reaping a lot of benefits from that. So
What kind of press have you done already for this thing?
All of our spots were on the Today Show. I've done, a bunch of news programs just around L.A. and in Arizona as well. yeah, it's been pretty crazy.
Do you look at some of the other ones? And I know you're going to say yours is the best, and I agree. But do you look at some of them and go, oh man, that was a great idea.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think there's something about each spot that I really like, and like in past years, you know, like last year, I think there was a clear front runner, and I feel like this year is not so much that way. Like it's kind of anybody's game. Everyone's kind of, you know, similarly good, but they're also all very different. And so, you know, it's part of what's making it such a crazy, scary, but exciting contest, I guess.
Is there something that, as you look at your commercial now, that you go, oh, if the deadline was tomorrow, there's this thing I would change between now and tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I think, of course, with any piece of art, you know, it's never perfect. It's never the way you want. It's just, you know, you did the best you could with the time you had. But yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know, I guess one thing I probably would have done is at the end when the employee stands up and the Doritos fall out of his pockets, I probably would have loaded him up with a few more bags. I think that might have helped that joke to be a bit more punchy, but you know, we're really happy with it, and I mean, us getting this far at all, like, you know, is kind of confirmation that we executed it well. But you know, there's always something you wish you could change.
Well, and you get to go to the Super Bowl, like you said.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, there's no complaints over here. This has been an amazing experience.
Does your wife get to go?
She's gonna come with me, but she can't go to the Super Bowl. I'm taking my writing partner. I felt that was only fair because, you know, he and I came up with it together. So.
Lastly, before I let you go, because I know you got a million things you got going on, is it gonna be Seattle or Denver?
Oh my gosh. Well, my family lives in Denver now, so I think I'm obligated to say Denver. But I'm not too savvy with football. I enjoy watching it, but I don't know much about, you know, I don't have a team or anything. But yeah, I'll go ahead and say Denver.
All right. Now when you end up winning, I'm calling you the next day. Is that going to be all right? We'll follow up.
Oh my gosh, I would love that. All right. That would mean that I won.
Yes. and if you don't win, which isn't going to happen, so we don't even need to mention it. I'm also going to call and heckle you. Is that going to be okay?
Okay, that's okay too. Yep. Either way.
All right, go to voteofficethief.com. A fellow, a member, let's get him there. It's Chris Capel. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes.
Thank you, Richie. I appreciate it.
You bet. Bye-bye. All right, coming back in the second and third block of the Cultural Hall, we visit with the guys with Inspired Guns. Pretty cool movie. I recommend watching it, if for nothing else, but for the sleeping man on the couch. That's the second and third block here of the Cultural Hall.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
It's time for the second block of the Cultural Hall, and I am not only pleased but also honored to be joined with just some of the fine folks that helped with my huge performance in... No, I'm kidding. It's the guys from Inspired Guns. Adam White, the director and writer.
How are you?
Across the way from me is David Laster. He's the good-looking starring missionary guy.
Oh, you flatter me.
And then also one of the producers. And also, I forget your character in the film, but it's Jared Phillips.
Yeah, the character's Johnny the Butcher Rossi.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
I've mentioned it before, and we actually did a little sit-down with you a little while back, Adam. You were on the phone from somewhere. Where was that when we called you on the phone and talked about... Were you in L.A.?
Yeah, I don't remember where I was. I just remember that was like the highlight of my film career so far.
Right. Well, it should be.
Yeah.
Stepping into the Cultural Hall is a big deal.
Yeah.
For most... I mean, some we talk a lot about genealogy within the Mormon Church, and I think that a lot of people can trace back in their fame genealogy to the time that they were here in the Cultural Hall. So
yeah,
good to have you here.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Fond days playing ball in the Cultural Hall.
I'm very happy to be here in studio.
And the launch, you know, now of your career, essentially being here in this moment, in this time. I'm excited to see what comes forth.
Hold on a second. I'm going to take a selfie.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Got
where can people find that selfie? Is that Instagram? Is that where we're going?
I'm not on Instagram, but I'll probably post it somewhere.
Okay, perfect. Do you need a second? Do you need silence as you take the selfie?
I'm just kidding.
A silent selfie? You're not what? Now you're going to lead me down the selfie path, and now
I've
you're
never
not
taken
deliver?
A selfie before. That was a joke. People do it all the time. I haven't done it yet.
Ever?
Never.
Do you have your phone on you?
Yeah.
Would you do me the honor and selfie yourself right now?
Okay. I'm going to put you in the background so you can photobomb it.
He's really doing it. This is a
first,
big deal.
First selfie
first
ever.
First selfie.
For Mr. Adam White.
I can see that. I can see why you've never done this before.
Yeah. You see how difficult it is?
It's because he has such a long arm. It's hard to really get the angles right.
There it is.
I can't. That was too off.
There it is. All right. And I'm not even going to edit any of that out. That's the best part about the Cultural Hall.
But look at Jared Phillips. He's a pro at selfies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of selfies going on.
There's selfie pressure here coming for you in a minute, David.
All right. I'll do one.
You can find all these. You guys will have to send them to me. We'll post them at theculturalhall.com.
On the podcast.
Yeah. Who framed the selfie the best? You know, was it the director?
I'll put my first one in there.
Nailed it. All right. So I'll take some of that silence out. But Inspired Guns, the movie. Let's talk about it. Where did the idea for Inspired Guns come about? And what is it a film about?
Yeah. So I have five kids. One on the way. I love going to the movies.
Man, really?
Yes, really. Yeah. And they're awesome. But you know, there's not a lot of good content that we can all enjoy together out there. When I was on my mission.
Where'd you serve?
I served in Argentina.
Where did you serve in Argentina?
Mendoza.
Okay.
Yeah. And we would always get, people would always think, oh, those guys are FBI. Oh, those guys are CIA. We always got that all the time. And, you know, I just thought one day that'd be funny if we walked up to somebody and interrupted some kind of mafia hit or something. And so that was kind of the genesis of the actual story.
So as you're tracking the streets of Mendoza, Argentina, you're like, you know, this film. And did you actually start to write out stuff, or was it always just an idea in the back of your head?
It was just an idea in my head. And then when I got home and thought, you know, I really enjoy writing and kind of want to pursue this, started writing the script. That was 10 years ago that I started. I actually wrote the first draft of the script, and then, you know, have since wrote other stuff. But anyway, just wanted to create something that families could enjoy, and, you know, and it's been an awesome experience. We've had three screenings of the movie, and, you know, families have come, and people of all ages are, like, genuinely loving the movie. I mean, it's been overwhelming how much. I mean, we have probably 30 or 40 video testimonials of people saying how great the movie was. You know, people posting on Facebook. It's been crazy, the response so far.
Let's talk about you, college. Where'd you go to school?
I went to BYU. I also went to ASU. Actually graduated from ASU.
So how come the switch? Couldn't take it in Provo?
You know, Provo was fine. I was actually there longer than I was at ASU. I could graduate a lot faster from ASU. Nothing against ASU, but it was like going back to high school compared to BYU. And I knew that, you know, I was 25 years old, and I was like, I don't want to be in college for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. So just went back there and finished.
What'd you study?
Business, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the idea always being with business to go into film, or?
Yeah, I started my own businesses, sold them. I mean, it was always a means to an end. I knew that this is what I wanted to do, but I wanted to set myself up so that I could make the movie that I wanted. And so I started several businesses, sold them. And
like what? Because I'd love to sell a business and then be able to do what I want, right? And be my own boss.
Yeah, it was really easy. I mean, anyone can do it.
Yeah?
Yeah. So, no, it was, I...
requires internet, no effort, internet businesses. No sacrifice.
We actually started we took the whole model of flipping real estate.
Okay.
And put that to the internet and bought websites, fixed them up, made them, you know, get traffic and make money, and then would sell them.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I never thought of that before.
I know. Okay, David, let's get out of here. Yeah. Let's go start a
what
business.
What are you doing right now?
Sucker, you can do the rest of this interview, Adam.
Okay, sweet. Man, this is way better than that. No, anyway, so yeah, it was good. It was awesome. But, you know, it was, again, it was always with the goal in mind to be able to do this.
And so you're able to do this filmmaking now full time.
Yeah, that's all I'm doing. Yep.
That's great.
Yeah.
Five kids with one on the way. Mm-hmm. I heard that too. That seems ambitious.
Yeah, you know, our five kids are so awesome that we just thought, let's just keep going, man.
Yeah.
Let's have another one.
Is six the plan, or are we thinking seven?
Five was the plan, but now there's no plan anymore.
Yeah. God threw the plan out the window. What is this?
Anything could happen.
Yeah.
What about you? Oh, sorry, Jared.
I think by God throwing the plan, I think you mean his wife, Greta.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, code? That's what I meant. Okay. That's what I meant.
Well, you know, it was both. But
his wife, because I know with on these shoots, you can be gone, essentially absent father for a while. Is your wife pretty supportive of it, or is it?
Oh,
like...
man, she's my number one fan. I mean, she's all in on this stuff. And since we shot mostly here in Utah, it was just I was just gone during the day. You know, I would come home at night, although everyone was asleep. But you know, it wasn't too bad. You know, it's. But yeah, it's been great. She's awesome.
And she came to set a bunch, right?
She did come to set.
And she
a lot.
Brought us the most amazing baked goods.
Oh yeah. Wait a minute. So wait, I'm doing an interview and there's no Greta baked goods here. That's what I just realized.
Well, no, you know. There's not. But she did make me a delicious breakfast this morning.
Well, good. I'm glad you got to enjoy the delicious breakfast.
Omelet and toast and
really,
and, yeah,
the whole nine.
Mm-hmm.
But Richie, there was this one scene where I had to eat some chocolate chip bundt cake.
Uh huh.
And it was Greta's.
Chocolate chip bundt cake.
And I had like three or four slices of it.
He kept going, we need to do another take.
Let's go again.
I didn't feel good about that. Yeah. Let's do this again.
Yeah, I don't like the way that I chewed that last piece.
Yeah,
there was too much joy on my face, actually. I need to be less joyful as I eat this bundt cake.
Seriously, though, it was so good.
Really?
So good.
Need the recipe from Greta for the bundt cake. Can you do that?
It's called Darn Good Chocolate Cake. It's not the real name of it. That's what we have to call it in our house.
Darn. Is it a really recipe that she's made?
Well, it's somebody's recipe, but she's mastered it. I mean, it's it really
can we get
is
it? We'll share it on this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I'll you get it? You'll
I'll,
send it to me.
I'll, cool. I'll have her
all
send
right.
it.
Available at theculturalhall.com in association with this. All right, so enough with Adam for a second. David Lasseter, you're the star of this thing.
Oh.
One of many, because I happen to know another guy who's brilliant in this movie.
What's his name?
It's me. Oh, it's me. Yeah. His name is Richie. Yeah. He sits on a couch and has two lines, and it's amazing.
Nailed it.
Let's talk about where you come from. LDS person?
Yeah, yeah.
Born, raised. Pioneer stock?
Yeah, yeah, both sides.
So many generations.
That's right.
Any pioneers we'd know about?
Ever heard of Erastus Snow?
Sure.
Yeah.
Where is that in you?
That's my dad's mom's side.
Dad's mom's side, okay.
One of her ancestors is a Snow.
Okay.
And specifically Erastus Snow.
Yeah, so really, we're talking like vintage pioneer stock here.
Yeah.
Born and raised in Utah?
No, I was actually born in Canada. Proud to say that I was made in the USA, though.
Okay.
And raised...
when you say made in... Actually, let's not get into it.
I was raised mostly in Arizona and then spent some time in Utah, then ended up at BYU.
And, as most Mormons do.
Yeah.
Yeah, David and I actually were in the same ward growing up. And
really?
Yeah, he's a lot younger than I am, and so we didn't really connect back then because he was young and I was a little older. But I didn't recognize him when I wanted him for the part. I just thought he was great and you know had good charisma and everything. But then found out it was him. It was David Lasseter from my home ward from 15 years ago
here in Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So Arizona, and then Utah, and then BYU. What'd you study at BYU?
I double majored in philosophy and English.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That guarantees a job when you graduate, philosophy and English.
Yeah, it teaches you lots of practical skills that are marketable. Everybody wants one.
And so you got into acting.
Yeah. So, no, and then I went to law school after that.
Okay. Was that the end goal always in mind?
No, that was, law school was more of, I needed a plan and...
Parents? Or for yourself?
No, for myself.
Okay.
And I just thought, you know, law school sort of feels like it goes with a lot of my skills, and philosophy and English are not a bad background for law. And I just thought, you know, if nothing comes up along the way, at least that I'll have something that I'm working toward.
Yeah, fall back on being a lawyer.
Yeah. So I just graduated in April.
From law school?
Yeah.
Where at?
BYU.
Okay, I've heard of that.
Yep. It's the J. Reuben Clark Law School.
And bar then, are you?
I'm going to be studying for the bar that'll be given in July.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Miserable experience, isn't it?
That's what many people say. It's a couple days of nonstop test taking.
So when you do things like this, like projects like Inspired Guns opening in theaters on January 23rd.
Fourth,
24th. Premiering on the 22nd.
Yep.
There we go. Do you think, man, I sure like this a lot more than I like studying for the bar and subsequently doing law, or is it?
I sure do think that. Yeah. I mean, acting is just, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's demanding. I mean, don't let anybody fool you. It's not like you just.
Oh, you get to go to work and play.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's kind of a cliche, but, you know, people say you get paid as an actor to wait around. And some actors, sometimes you'd be on a set and some actors don't realize that and they get angry and frustrated. Like, what? Why did I have to be here so early?
Sure.
And that's really what you're doing. And so there's a lot of time where you're sitting around doing nothing, and then when it's time, you have to deliver your lines that you've memorized, hopefully.
Yeah.
And do it like
in a lot of cases, not in some film shoots that even I've been on where it's like, wait, really? That guy?
I mean, Richie, you had two lines, man. Really?
Yeah.
Two lines.
And I couldn't memorize them. Ugh.
And then you just do it over and over again and, you know, hope that you, the one take that you really nailed it, nobody messed up technically. Like, the camera didn't go out of focus, or sound guys don't want another take because some airplane was flying overhead, or there was a train in the background, or somebody coughed, or bumped a mic.
Doorbell ring.
No, I will say David did an awesome job. I mean, when you see the movie, you'll see that he carries the movie. He's the lead. He's the straight missionary, straight laced, and just awesome. Does a great job. But these guys on set were impossible to corral and to get them to do anything if the camera wasn't actually rolling. I mean, it was these guys, like, he knew the Mafia brothers. I mean, he knew Jake Suazo, who plays one of the Mafia brothers in it, really well. Those guys are old friends, and they just wanted to play improv games all day.
Yeah.
And it has never stopped. It really didn't.
Adam was really nice to us. Like, Adam was saying last night, he was like, you know, if you want to be a director, you got to be really bossy and just tell people what it is that you want and stuff. But he was actually really flexible. I mean, there were some lines that needed to be said just so, because they were setups for letter payoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But he actually let us improv a lot. And, I mean, we were kind of out of control at times between takes, making a lot of noise, making it difficult to do work. And then, you know, he'd have to step in and firmly, fatherly say, shut up.
Yeah.
We're doing
shut
this.
Shut up, you.
Yeah, just do the line. Yep. Do it the line as written. Stop messing it up. Stop doing your own thing. And then he'd let the camera, you know, like a take would be over and he'd just let the camera roll.
And then like, do whatever you want. Do their thing.
Yeah. Well, an interesting dynamic, because Adam's not only the director of the film, but also the writer.
Yeah. And as for that reason, I was obviously much more emotionally attached to the lines, you know. But these guys are so good at improv that, you know, they brought stuff to it that it was very clear to me that's funnier than what I had,
mm-hmm.
you know. I'm not arrogant enough to think that my way is the only way. You know, I knew
you'll get there though.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm working on it, and I've gotten better since then. But yeah, I mean, when these guys came up with some really funny stuff on set, and I was like, that's brilliant, man. We got it. We have to do it that way, you know, and just cross it off the script.
Yeah. And there's so many little improv moments that you wouldn't even know necessarily are improvised because these guys just do it. And they did it once and then it became part of the script.
Became the thing.
The blocking, maybe, like somebody did a gesture. I mean,
even like
look.
In the scene that you're in, when you if you see in the trailer that the two mafia guys kissing the ring of the bishop,
uh-huh.
the Mormon bishop, you know, that was just totally improv by Christian Busaith. You know, he just right in the middle of the take kissed him. I was like, everyone started laughing on set. We had to reshoot it, but it was like, do that again, please.
But that was so true of like every scene. It's just so hard to keep a straight face. I mean, we talk about Jake Suazo and Christian Busaith all the time, but I mean, Dash Wolf was hard.
Yeah,
I mean,
Dash,
hard
who plays
keep...
the other elder, the other younger.
Dash Wolf and David both are just hilarious. I mean, David plays a straight guy, but in reality, I saw him at Comedy Sports. That's actually where I saw him and said, that guy needs to play in my movie. And really funny guys.
But I mean, all these characters are so funny. Like the two FBI guys, Scott Berenger and
Brett Merritt,
are so funny. They have all these moments. And then the guy who really I couldn't stop laughing. I mean, it was uncontrollable. Is one of the guys who plays these gang members, is Andrew Diaz. He's just got these eyebrows, and he just every time he'd deliver this one line, I couldn't keep a straight face, and then that would just energize him and provoke him into doing it more intensely and make me laugh, and it just became harder and harder with each take.
He's funny.
Is this your first film, David?
Yeah, this is the first film I've ever done.
Ever?
Yeah.
You've never done a commercial. You've never done a. Someone's directing independent project. This is out of the gate.
Yes.
What do you take away from the experience so far?
A lot about performing.
Like what?
Well, like learning all kinds of about all the bad habits that I have in performing. You know, I don't really have any formal acting training. All the training that I have is just improv.
Mm-hmm.
So just doing extreme characters, going from, you know, sad to happy in an instant, or happy to sad, or angry, or whatever. I mean, just every emotion. But I acting on camera is really different. You know, I do a lot of hand gestures, mm-hmm. and that sometimes this can be really distracting. I move my head a lot. My eyebrows are all over the place. Like just little things you don't even think about unless you see some actor doing it and you're going,
it drives me crazy.
Stop it.
Well, yeah. Obviously you're going to be much more critical of yourself, you know, mm-hmm. which he's being overly critical. His acting was fantastic, you know, and nobody in a million years would ever guess that that's the first thing.
Yeah, you're not going to go to the film and be like, those hands, there he is.
Look, there he is.
It's David in this.
Check out those eyebrows.
I don't know what to do with my hands. But yeah, I mean, one of the things that I was kind of trying to learn as much as I could about film acting, and one of the best statements that I heard in kind of like preparing, I'm doing scare quotes around preparing for the role, was something I heard on Inside the Actor's Studio. I can't remember who said it, but one of the people was saying like when you're on stage, like doing just a theatrical performance, people are reading, you know, your face and body language and stuff, but the camera, when you're doing a film, the camera photographs your thoughts, and you really have to be thinking like your character. I mean, and listening to the other person in the scene so that you can actually react as though you were this person. And that was a challenge because you can kind of feel it. Like when you get into that zone, and I sound really pretentious right now.
More of a method when you get into the.
I learned a lot from Daniel Day-Lewis. I made everybody carry me around set and talk to me as only referred to me as Elder Fisher.
He kept asking to baptize people on set all the time just because he was in character and. It was, you know,
challenging in the baptizing mission. I mean, that's what I would do. At the drop of a hat, I'd challenge people to read the Book of Mormon and get baptized.
Yeah.
You said you served your mission in
Fort Lauderdale,
Florida. How was that?
It was fun.
Yeah.
Tough.
What language was it?
Haitian Creole speaking.
Haitian Creole.
Our mission had five languages.
Oh my gosh.
And that was pretty fun because, you know, and all the neighborhoods in southeastern Florida are like really segregated. So you've got different nationalities and ethnic groups all over the place, and you'd be knocking on doors in one neighborhood and find somebody speaks Spanish or something. And if you're lucky, you know, you lived with some Spanish speaking elders who try to teach you a little bit of Spanish. You maybe learn a first discussion or like a doorstep approach in Spanish, try and give them a pass along card or something. And so that was kind of a fun challenge. You get somebody who speaks English and you're like,
Oh, hey, English. I know that language.
I know that. And it's a really unique experience, you know, when you're trying to teach every day in like a foreign language, and then suddenly you get a chance to teach the gospel in your own language.
It's hard. Whoa. It's actually hard because you're so used to doing it the other way.
I don't have a method for this. I'm kind of winging it the whole time.
Hold on, I know the English word. Give me a second. Baptism.
Yeah.
Scary? Ever worried about your welfare?
You know, I was never afraid. My whole mission, I wasn't scared. And we were in some bad neighborhoods and in some bad situations. And I don't know if that was just ignorance or what exactly, but...
Well, you are, what, 7'3"?
Yeah,
so
no.
That helps.
Yeah, well, you are 8'6", aren't you?
Yeah.
How tall are you?
I'm about 10'1".
Yeah.
No, I'm 6'4".
So big dude.
Yeah. But, I was never...
Have you
never
been
scared.
Back since?
Yeah, I went back one time when I was working for BYU Broadcasting doing sound production. Went back to shoot a documentary. And we were not ever allowed to go on the beach or anything. And I glimpsed the ocean like three times, twice at night, my whole mission. Mm-hmm. One time there was no moon, so it was just like thick darkness out there. And I could just hear it when we were riding past on bikes when I was living in Miami Beach. But so I went back and we just pulled off on the beach and I just started stripping, you know, throwing my shoes off, and I ran into the water, and I'd forgotten the difference between the Pacific and Atlantic Ocean because the instant I set foot in the Atlantic, I was like, this is like a bath. Holy cow.
Yeah, warm.
So warm. Yeah. It was so nice.
It's interesting, especially for stateside missions. I served in Cleveland, and so felt completely safe while I was serving as a missionary, and then had the opportunity to go back and went, what? This is not safe.
This is dangerous.
Yeah. We would be here at night.
No, yeah. that's what I thought too. I mean, I tried to get the guys I was with to take me around some of these old neighborhoods, and they were like, they were scared, and I it started clicking with me. I was like, yeah, this is not good for us to be here right now.
Walk the streets at night, man, without any fear.
Yeah, I can't even believe I did that.
Coming back in the third block, I want to talk about kind of the modern age now of I don't want to call it Mormon cinema, but Mormon influenced cinema, perhaps.
Yeah.
And where you guys kind of feel like that is now and where it's going. and also talk more about the film Inspired Guns out in theaters on January 24th in the state of Utah, and how people who aren't in the state of Utah can get the film to be able to show in their area. We'll come back and talk about that in the third block.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5500. To book your shoot today.
It's time for the third block of the Cultural Hall, joined with the silent Jared Phillips, which is the best way to have Jared Phillips.
Thank you very much.
I said silent. And also we got Adam White, the writer and director of Inspired Guns, and across the way from me, it's Elder, what's your name in the film?
Fisher.
Elder Fisher from the film Inspired Guns. It's David Lasseter.
Aren't you in the film?
I am. I'm titled as what? Man on Couch?
Sleeping man on couch. Which is kind of typecasting for you, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, more and more where I feel like I have to set an example, it's self-imposed feeling like I have to set an example, so really maybe it's not genuine at all.
Yeah, it's kind of like look how silly that guy looks sleeping at church. You should never do that.
Yeah.
Is that's it?
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
Wow, that's good reverse psychology.
Right?
I think that's amazing.
Do not as I'm doing. Do not follow me. Exactly. I can do it fast or slow. I can do it high or low.
Or low.
No, you're not going to sing the song with me?
Oh, yeah, what do you want?
No, it's fine, Jared.
Follow me.
Take the microphone away from Jared, Adam.
Okay.
The current state of Mormon cinema. Let's go here. We've talked a lot about it with different guests that we've had within the Cultural Hall.
Yeah.
We had Richard Dutcher on, who, as we all know, no longer a member of the church, but who many credit to be the grandfather, the godfather, the pioneer of Mormon cinema. We had all those films, and man, did we have all those films.
Yes, we did.
Right? And then it was like, nope, we are not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
Mormon cinema is done. I have had my church ball, singles ward, you know, all these experiences, and I've had it, and I've burned. And then we had these films that were like, well, we know it's made by Mormons, but we're not going to mention anything Mormon about it. And I'm thinking of films like
Napoleon Dynamite.
Your Napoleon Dynamite. Nacho Libre. Your Nacho Libre, like you say, and then also Forever Strong.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, those films that if you know and are of the culture, you go, yeah. But they're not necessarily like, and that's where we teach the gospel, and then there's all that. And now there seems to be a renaissance, gentlemen, a resurgence of it being okay to do Mormon film again. Why?
You know, I don't think it's something that anyone said, okay, guys, it's been long enough. Now we can make these movies. You know, I think it was just crazy timing. You know, I remember when we started filming Inspired Guns. I mean, I wrote the script 10 years ago, but...
So why not any time in the last 10 years? Yeah. What made now so significant?
Well, a lot of it was, you know, just getting myself prepared, you know, with the whole businesses and all that. And it just, the timing worked out. But also, you know, it just wasn't the right time, honestly. I mean, I just wasn't, I knew it wasn't the right time. And I don't know why, but it's so crazy how you have these two movies. And I refer to the Saratov approach as the other one, that came out so close to each other, both about missionaries, right at a time when... missionaries have become like the hottest topic in Utah, because you have the lowering of the ages and all the new missionaries going out, and it's just kind of the hot topic right now. And you know, we didn't plan that. The movie was already in pre-production when that announcement came out, you know. Yeah. And so was Saratov, and so it's just been kind of crazy timing. But you know, it's a renaissance, but I never thought to myself, I can't make an LDS movie, because you know, there's just been too many of them. It's just the timing worked out the way it did.
Is there an allegiance, a secret group, maybe Facebook or otherwise, of all the Mormon actors and directors who kind of get together and do that? Because I know you're going to tell me no right now. You're looking at me like, you're an idiot. There's no way.
Yeah, but I mean, if there were, we couldn't say.
Right.
And if there is, I haven't been invited to it. Yeah. So.
And if I had been invited, I couldn't tell you.
If you're listening and there is one, please message me on Facebook. Yeah.
The number one rule of film club is you don't talk about film club.
Someone taking the microphone away from Jared.
I've already got kicked out before I even got in, because I was mentioning it.
But But is there conversations that are had with, or is it just an understood and silent respect for, like, Garrett Beatty, Batty?
Yeah.
With the Saratov approach? Do you know him? Have you spoken to him and said?
I have spoken to him since he made the film. We didn't know each other before, you know, and it's funny because Dashiell Wolf, who plays the other missionary, he was auditioning. We were auditioning at the same time. He was auditioning for one of the parts in that movie and ours as well. And, you know, and ended up obviously getting cast in our movie, but, you know, there was no correlation there. I mean, it was we were both like, uh-oh, another more missionary movie being made at the same time. What's this going to be about? You know, is this going to, you know, I think we were both a little bit nervous. Like,
are they cannibalizing our audience?
Yeah. But you know, their movie's so different than ours. You know, ours is obviously a family comedy, PG rated. You know, and
yeah, there's not too much funny in the Saratov approach.
No,
it's a well done movie, yeah. But yeah. There ain't anything that I'm going. handcuffed.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's a very, very well done movie, but it's, you know, it's a drama, and it, you know, you're gonna, it's, you know, it's one of those where you're just like, wow, it tugs on your heart and everything and all that. But this is more of a just go have a good time, enjoy time with the family, and just laugh a lot.
I want to talk about it because one of the critics of Inspired Guns, talking to me about it because he knew that I was in it. He talks about within the story, there's this very, very kind of funny line, like specific line of dialogue, but there's the whole mobsters who essentially feel like these missionaries that are coming are, you know, sent from the boss,
the
mob boss. And then there's this kind of byline about the woman trying to decide whether or not she's going to get baptized.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this particular critic said, I love the movie, except for the byline of the woman deciding whether or not to get baptized. Was there the feeling that there needed to be that kind of religious thing as part of it?
You know, as I was writing the story, it made sense to have that in there. I mean, I can understand this because the mafia stuff and the whole, you know, the confusion and the misunderstanding is so funny. It's a funny, very funny situation. You know, I can understand why people want more of that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, to have a good balance and to, you know, if it's all funny all the time, then how funny
then
is it?
Then it's the cultural hall, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Guns.
And so, yeah. So anyway, it's it felt like it needed to be in the story. And I think it did. I mean, it definitely is a different feel, you know, because you have them trying to help this lady and you know, get baptized and all that. But, you know, it's obviously a minor part of the movie.
I think that's really interesting that he had a problem with that. I mean, it is, I don't know if it's maybe a misunderstanding about what the story is, but it's, I mean, the movie is about this missionary who believes that he has someone he has to baptize.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that happens is centered around that conflict. Is he going to baptize? Who is it? Who is the person he's supposed to baptize, and is he going to get to baptize them?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not exactly hilarious, but I think it helps ground the movie in reality and avoids making it a total farce, so that it actually does have some real emotion in it towards the end of when you see whether or not he gets he achieves his goal.
The other thing that I think it's interesting that it speaks to is the comedic level of those two, where if people are going, man, we want some more of, you know, the mobsters, some more of that. So I don't think, though it sounds perhaps as a negative critique, I think it's probably more of a positive, hey, you know what, we loved this part of it so much. Let's some more Inspired Guns too.
Yeah, well, you know, the interesting thing is you have the group, the two brothers who are hilarious, and you have the two missionaries, which, you know, you'll see are actually, they're really funny. And you know, they're the two leads and they're in the movie the most, obviously, but they're actually a really funny combination. And then you have the two FBI agents who are really funny. You have the gangsters, like David was talking about, who are really funny. You just have all these groups of different really, really cool characters. And then you have obviously the mafia guys that are like Jared and, you know, Rick Macy, who plays the boss, who are just, the bad guys that, mm-hmm. There's not a lot of humor there, just, you know, the danger that's presented. Anyway, so yeah, it's really, I mean, the movie is, it's very entertaining, but you also have some good, I mean, people are like, yeah, I knew I was going to laugh a lot, but I didn't realize I was going to cry a little, you know? And so
a little bit of heart, like
a little bit of heart, but it's, you know, mostly laughs.
There are lots of flights of comedic fancy, but then there is something to ground the movie and keep it, you know, real a little bit.
Where with it being, I guess for lack of a better term, and some people would hear that, the term LDS film and go, I don't really like that. important that everyone involved be LDS? Does that matter? Did it kind of matter?
No, it didn't matter. In fact, the mission president, played by John Darren, he's not LDS, and you know, he did a fantastic job and you know, sells it. I mean, I had him watch General Conference as his research.
Yeah, there we go. See?
And he
I'm going to actually need you to step into this font for just a moment.
If you really want to get into this part, let me... Here's my two friends, the real missionaries. They're going to talk to you for a minute.
It'll just take, you know, 5 or 6 lessons of an hour apiece. Listen, it's we can get it all done
in one day if we need to.
Or I can give the part to someone else. It's your choice.
Yeah. But the majority of the folks are LDS or were raised LDS. Or...
Yeah, I mean, I didn't ever take account, honestly. But you know, you're in Utah. Most talent and crew and everyone's from Utah, so I'm assuming that probably the majority of them were.
So no sort of was there a religious aspect off camera? Was there things like, you know, sometimes in these films there's like a crew prayer?
Yeah, we did that. Yeah, we did that. We started with a crew prayer every morning. Yep,
that's very cool.
Yeah.
And the film itself inspired Guns, that again opens January 24th here in the state of Utah. A labor of love, certainly, where you didn't let it go from the time you served your mission to start writing 10 years ago to where it comes into fruition now. Are there other projects that, in your mind, you've had locked away that are LDS films that you're like, man, I can't wait to do this? Or are there already some that are started?
Yeah, I wrote another one that I'm actually really excited about, and it's, you know, hopefully going to film it this summer. But
tease us.
Well, I'll say this: it's more of a family fantasy. Instead, it's not a comedy. It's a kind of an epic family fantasy type movie, and
like Tennis Shoes Among the Nephites kind of thing.
A little bit in that vein. Yeah, okay. There are swords involved, and
sword play.
You know, and there may be some Lamanites there as well, and you know, even a prophet. We don't know, but I'm really excited about it. So, that one. It really depends on the success of this film, and so that's why we tell everybody, you know, if you want these kind of movies, if this is the kind of thing that you want for your family, then we really need your support. Get out opening weekend and see it in Utah, and then we'll move out to Hawaii and Arizona actually a couple weeks after, and then probably Idaho, Nevada. Yeah, so that's already set up, and so you know, we just share the word, tell everybody, and get the word out, and you know, and we're not saying do it even though it's not a good movie. The people are genuinely enjoying this movie. I mean, telling us they love it, and it's hilarious, and they laugh the whole time, and the roars of laughter that we're hearing in the theaters is like, it's just, it's really like overwhelming. I thought the movie was funny, obviously, because I wrote it, but I didn't expect the response to be this great. I mean, like I haven't heard people laugh that loud in a movie probably since maybe in the Avengers when the Hulk is slamming Loki into the ground, you know, something like that. I mean, it's that, and there's like 3 or 4 points in the movie when that happens, and I'm like, wow, it's so neat to hear and gratifying, because you know, you want to create something that everyone loves and enjoys. And then the other cool thing, that the other byproduct of this that I didn't expect, was mothers telling me, you know, I have a hard time relating with my boys, my young my teenage boys, and I took them to see this movie, and they can't stop talking about it, and we all laugh together, and we're quoting the lines and having such a great time together. I'm like, oh, that's really neat that families can do something together where they all enjoy it. Everyone enjoys it.
Palatable, do you feel like, for people who aren't LDS?
Yeah, it's a situational comedy. You know, it's not. It doesn't take place here in Utah, so it's not a lot about Mormon culture. There are jokes that, obviously, if you're LDS, you're going to understand better, you know. But for the most part, it's, you know, what would happen if LDS missionaries got mixed up with the mafia? You know, that's the situation, and I think anyone can appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been a lot of public exposure about missionaries, and a lot of people know missionaries and kind of what they're about. Like, they're the guys who show up on your doorstep and try and talk to you about
everybody knows the missionaries. The white shirts, bicycle, that's LDS missionary.
I sort of feel like the Mormon missionary is gaining on the Catholic priest as being a well enough recognized figure where it's not weird to have a Catholic priest in your movie, and everybody goes, nobody's like going, who is this guy? What's he about?
Yeah.
If people want the film, say, like, you know, we have a lot of people who listen in Texas.
Yeah.
Is there a way that, I know with Saratov Approach, they did a thing where you could write them and say, hey, you know what, we live here, we want the film to come here. Is there a similar kind of thing for this?
Yeah, I think the first thing to do is just go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/inspiredguns, one word, obviously, and like us on Facebook, and then message us there, and just, you know, we're working with a theatrical consultant who's kind of in charge of all that, and kind of, you know, we decide where to go based on the demand, so... if you just message us and say, you know, bring it here, bring it to this state, and you know, as we see the demand grow, then we obviously can, we know that that's a viable market and we'll take it out there. You know, it all depends on the support of the community.
Let's talk about this part of it too. I always joke around that every Mormon film has to have Kirby Hayborn or Corbin Allred, and neither of those gentlemen are in this movie.
That's
conscious really, choice to go
really
away from.
That's a strong point, Richie.
I never really thought I have to have them in them. I mean, it was a conscious choice. Not that they're not good and they couldn't do a good job in the movie. I just thought, you know, I handpicked the guys that I wanted for the lead parts in this movie, and it just wasn't either of those two.
Yeah, I just like that joke because it really is not a joke. It is every film where it's
reality.
Like, and they are amazingly talented, as you point out.
Yeah.
So it's nothing, I'm not knocking them down, but it's just like, cool, inspired guns. Is it going to be Kirby or is it going to be Corbin?
Yeah. Well, you know, I here's the thing. This movie, I think it's different. It's a different type of LDS comedy, you know, than what we've seen in the past. And because of that, I wanted it to be fresh faces, you know, people that, because I want people to look, I mean, you watch the trailer and you can tell, oh, that's a different type of movie. It looks different. It's, you can tell the story's type, a different type. And I didn't want there to be a lot of well-known, recognizable faces. You know, I want it to be, you know, just fresh and something new for everybody.
Except for the sleeping man on the couch, David Lasseter.
Everyone is very familiar with him.
He looks familiar to me.
I've seen that guy somewhere. Was it on my ward's couch? Did I see him sleeping there?
Was that where he was sleeping? I believe I woke that guy up one time.
sat right on him. Oops.
Scoot over. Inspired Guns, the title came from?
It's a play on words. You have hired guns, which are hitmen, obviously.
Sure.
And that just, you know, inspired guns instead of hired guns. Because, you know, because the missionaries are perceived as hitmen by these two guys in the mafia.
And
so.
We're sort of the Lord's hired guns to go out and hunt and fish.
Sure.
And find the people of the earth
men,
and bring
yeah.
them to the Lord.
So, inspired guns, that's where the name came from.
Where, I mean, a difficult thing to title a movie.
Yeah.
Was there a struggle with what you wanted to call it?
Oh, yeah,
what were the runners-up? These are the ones I always love.
We had Missionary Impossible.
Okay. Boy, I'm glad you didn't do that.
We had Contract Saviors.
I haven't heard about these yet. This is entertaining.
Yeah. Missionary Impossible is terrible.
Yeah, well, that's not the movie title, so thank goodness. That was the first name of the movie, actually.
Oh, was it really?
It was.
Am I hurting feelings?
No. I got very thick skin.
Okay. Wait, so Contract Saviors?
Contract Saviors.
Okay, what else?
It was a very short list. I can't remember. I mean, because of the premise, it's like, what do you call this movie? I mean,
right.
I asked a lot of people and, you know, there was there's another one. It was, I'll think of it in a second, but there were some funny ones too, but I was like, it might be a little bit too.
Snipers on Mount Zion.
Yeah.
Snipers on Mount Zion. That's a good one. A little too long though.
Mountain Meadow Massacre. Oh no, wait, that doesn't play well.
Yeah, so anyway, there's other ones, but I don't remember what they are. But yeah, it was tough to think.
I think it's a great title, and I love the double meaning of it. But I do in a lot of these things. I know that oftentimes the script comes out, and it's like, yeah, this is a great script, and then comes this insurmountable task of titling the thing, and it's just like. The best two, no, God darn, that won't work. You know, we'll have the Missionary Impossible.
Missionary Impossible. That was the original.
You're better off with Inspired Guns.
You think
one
so?
Man, one sleeping man on a couch's opinion.
The one problem about Inspired Guns is this: people automatically, because of the gun controversy, and everyone in Utah loves guns, so it's fine here. But you know, throughout the country, it's like, wait, guns are inspired? What's that supposed to mean? Yeah. You know. We were on our way down to Disneyland. My wife was wearing an Inspired Guns t-shirt, and this lady's like, oh, I love guns. I have my permit. And this lady talked to me for like an hour about guns. And my wife, like, she didn't want to be rude, so she's sitting. I'm like, we're like trying to get in the car and go, and she's just talking to this lady who won't stop talking about guns to her because she's wearing an Inspired Guns shirt. I'm like, that's the one issue here we have with this title.
See, I wear my Inspired Guns t-shirt to the gym.
Yeah,
you better believe that people want to talk to me.
He cuts the sleeves off and puts little arrows.
That's why you asked for a size small. Now I get it.
That was for my baby sister.
That's my Inspired Gun
right
Buster
here.
And my Inspired Gun Keaton right there.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you can find out information. What?
Jared didn't
the
like
silent
that.
Jared Phillips.
Buster Keaton?
Yeah, those are my guns.
Oh, okay.
That's Buster right, right there.
Interesting
and that's
choice
Keaton.
For names. All right, that's fine.
What,
that's fine.
What are your guns named?
I don't know. I would think, you know, maybe like Lou and Ferrigno. I don't know. Something yeah, like but bodybuilder. You but you're like think, Buster
you
Keaton.
You
silent movie star.
You haven't even named yours. So you're not allowed to play with the rest of us.
My inspired guns, Khloe and Kardashian.
Yeah, right there. See?
Nice, nice.
And Adam, your guns, what are your guns named?
I don't have any guns. I'm sorry. I'm not going to play this game.
They're called Working Really Hard on This Movie.
Yes.
It's Inspired Guns. It's inspiredgunsmovie.com.
Inspiredguns.com. But go to the Facebook page. That's where all the information is and pictures and all the fun stuff. Facebook.com/inspiredguns.
And send a message there if you want the film to come to your town.
Yeah, do that.
You're pretty
you hear happy. That, Albany, New York?
You hear that, Rochester?
Poughkeepsie?
Yeah.
I took a train to Poughkeepsie this summer.
You what?
I did. I took a train to Poughkeepsie.
Why?
Well, because we were in New York City shooting some scenes.
Yeah, we were filming the rest of the movie.
And I actually had my three of my siblings live in Albany. I don't know how that happened, but they all live there now. And so I just took a train to Poughkeepsie, and then they met me there and picked me up.
They're like, what's the furthest away from David we could live?
Yeah,
Albany. Let's do that.
Yeah.
We'll go right here.
Let's be honest. They could have gotten farther away.
Yeah. There's Maine.
They could have gone back to Canada.
Or Slovenia.
Yeah. Yeah, but then you have to live in another country and nobody.
I'm sorry that I brought up Poughkeepsie. I regret it now.
No, it's funny the way you spell Poughkeepsie, too. Not the way you'd think to spell it.
No,
you know?
Not at all.
And let's muse for a minute on the spelling of the city. Let's not. People can request it. Go to facebook.com/inspiredguns, all one word. You can check out the trailer there. Meet the cast and characters there too. Do you guys have?
Yeah, we have like little cards on just introducing little bios on all the characters. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff there. It's real fun.
Games.
You can play games with it if you want. Print the cards out and play memory, but you have to print two each.
Okay. All right. Is there a sleeping man on the couch bio card?
There's a picture of you. Somebody posted that they took during one of the screenings.
Okay.
Of that scene, illegally. I'm not sure who did that.
Yeah. It's the silent Jared Phillips.
But anyway, you know, that's the best we got.
That's fine. I wasn't given a name, so sleeping man on couch can just have the
you
picture.
Know, initially, fine. That was going to be the part that I was going to play. That was going to be my cameo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I took your part.
Well, I put myself in the bishopric in church. So
oh, perfect.
Fine.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're still in there.
I'm
you
good.
Can check it out. You yeah. can see
sleep,
what
sleeping man on stand.
Yeah.
Yes.
Check it out. Best of luck to you guys. May you have the blessed success like Saratova Approach, another great film. And please, if you like these kind of films, go support them. He mentioned it. I'll reiterate it. Go out and check these out, especially the folks here in Utah. If you want entertainment like this, it's your responsibility, really, honestly, to go and put it out. If they put these films out and we don't go watch them, that's how they end.
Yeah, you would make a great public broadcasting telethon pitch,
Brent,
man.
The more you know. And if you send money right now, you get yourself a free recyclable shopping bag for just a $7 donation.
And also, if you really do like the movie, if you watch it and like it, please tell everybody. Tell your friends and get people to go see it, because we really do need your support.
Yeah, you mentioned definitely. It one time, video testimonials. Is that something you do at the screenings or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, we did it. We had a little, you know, we had our big poster, 8-foot poster stand up in there, and we just put people in front of it and just asked them what they thought of the movie, you know, and we just recorded it so we could put it online and show people that, you know, because we get that, you know, not everyone's a huge fan of this genre in general, and people have to, you know, if it's a good movie, people will see it, but if it's not, they don't want to go waste money or feel like they're, you know, they're obligated because they are LDS or whatever.
Right.
So we wanted people to genuinely tell them, you know, how did you really feel about the movie, and let people know that this is a movie that people of all ages, of all genders, of all ethnicities have really enjoyed.
So check it out. It's Inspired Guns. Been joined by the silent, not so silent, Jared Phillips. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, Rich. You really appreciate it.
Also, Adam White, and then across the way, David Lasseter.
Thanks,
real quick questions as I let you guys go. Questions we ask everyone that steps into the cultural hall. So we're going to get serious here for a second.
Okay.
Actually, legitimately serious. This is the heart of the cultural hall. One, do you guys respectively have a calling in your ward at present?
Yeah, I serve on the high council.
Oh, really?
In our state,
all right.
Yeah.
Jared, do you have a calling in your ward?
I don't.
And David?
I have been nomadic for the last like 7 or 8 months, so I haven't even been in a ward. I've been attending I've been like ward hopping.
Okay. Now let's go here. If you could pick a calling, and Jared, you're going to have to answer this. If you could pick a calling for yourself, either one that exists or one that you are making up, what would you pick for yourself?
David, you go first.
I was a nursery leader for about a year and a half, and that was a lot of fun.
Really?
Yeah. When I just marched the kids, I got out this bucket and I just beat on it, and I'd march the kids around the room, and we'd make up stupid rhymes. And they just loved it. It was the 18-month to 2-year-olds.
There you go.
And we had a great time. I learned a lot about teaching because those kids have about a 10-second attention span.
It's like elders' quorum.
Yeah.
Jared?
See, my favorite calling was Sunday school teacher, probably. So that's what I would do.
You'd go back and be a Sunday school.
The teenage kids.
Cool.
When they're moldable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I think that's it for me, too. I really enjoy working with the youth, so I would probably do something there. But that where I didn't have to camp. But I could
be inspirational without a tent,
without having to camp, because I'm not a big outdoorsy guy. When I was a kid, my dad, we had father and sons outings. We'd get in the car because, you know, he had 5 sons, so he felt obligated. We'd get in the car and we'd get about a mile down the road. He goes, "So, would you guys rather go camping, or do you want to go see a movie and go to Burger King?" And obviously, we're like, "For a movie and Burger King." Yeah. And so that's what we did for father and sons.
Thanks, Dad.
You missed out, man. Barney Ranch.
We would go to the Barney Ranch. We went, but not every year. And you know, I had no problem with that. You know, I'd much rather go see a movie than to probably camp.
Nice.
I mean, I never got enough sleep. I'll admit it, but
yeah, a lot of pinecone wars time. Too.
Yeah.
Favorite part of your faith. Whoever wants to start it, that's the question. Favorite part of your faith?
That's a hard question, Richard.
Well, take it.
Yeah, you didn't give us time to think about
that. Well, if you listen to the cultural hall, I'll
take that one. Favorite part of my faith is just having a kind of constant knowledge that things, you know, everything kind of happens for a reason. Even the stuff that seems bad generally leads to stuff that's better. So it kind of evens out those, you know, the peaks and valleys of the emotional roller coaster we kind of experience as human beings.
Cool. All right.
I don't know how to say this without maybe being offensive to some people who feel like they've thought very hard about the Book of Mormon, but the Book of Mormon is so miraculous to me and so incredible. The longer I've studied it, the more amazing it becomes. I mean, it's just I feel like somebody hearing me say that would be like, "Well, what about all those passages that seem like they're plagiarized from the Bible or whatever?" Mm-hmm. Like, what about anachronisms? Like, I'm aware of those things that seem like that, and I still think it's the most amazing book I've ever encountered.
Yeah, I think I agree with David on the Book of Mormon, and you know, also just the focus on families, man. It's just, you know, the gospel, if you live it, brings, you know, peace and joy and freedom, you know, and you don't end up in, you know, with the troubles that most of the world faces if you just dedicate yourself to living the gospel and you know. I think the biggest piece of that for individuals is studying the Book of Mormon every day.
Cool. We hope that this has nourished and strengthened your body, and that if you're not healthy enough to listen this week, you'll be healthy enough to listen next week. In the meantime, we will be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row.